Morning, Carol.
Hello, Roy. How are you?
I'm wonderful this morning, and it's so nice to have you back.
Yes, I miss talking to you.
Yeah, we haven't chatted in a while. I miss our little chats from time to time. The year the Montreal Botanical Garden was celebrating its 75th anniversary, the history of the garden was a dream by Brother Marie Victorien. So he founded this institute of the University of Montreal in 1920.
That's right. Yes, he was teaching at the university.
And he did this during the Great Depression.
He built the gardens. Yes, his dream became reality during the Great Depression. It started, a mayor decided to, the mayor of the city at that time, hired the unemployed workers in Montreal to build the garden rather than just paying them relief money.
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
And they ended up with 22,000 plant species. That's incredible.
It is. It's huge. It's a very large botanical garden.
183 acres, I think you said, did you not?
Yes. And it has 10 exhibition greenhouses, which visitors can walk through. And there's also 30 outside scene gardens, which are fascinating and give you lots of great ideas for your own garden.
Now, you've broken them down by categories. And those who are listening, can obviously, you're aware that you can go to our website, ttrn.com, and you can read this article in depth and look at the photos as well. So let's start with the Lilac Glen.
Oh, yes, the Lilac Glen. In June, this is a wonderful place to be because your nose is just inundated with all the wonderful fragrances of the lilacs. And the lilacs, there are so many different types that they start blooming early in June and they go into July. Whereas, you know, if you have a lilac bush at home, it may only bloom for 2 weeks.
Right.
So there's about 400 shrubs there. And as it says in the article, they're all pruned to sort of nose height so that you can get the best of the fragrance.
And
it's just wonderful.
And you mentioned the senses, and there is, in fact, the courtyard of the senses, which I think is quite amazing.
This is wonderful. And actually, a lot of the plants are raised to sort of waist height so that people can touch them easily. It was originally built for people that are visually impaired.
Yes.
But it's very popular with everybody, particularly children, because they can touch the plant and they can smell the plant. They can do everything but see the plant, technically, the way it's laid out. They suggest you go through the garden with your eyes closed.
And in fact, you mentioned that they're labeled in French, English, and in Braille.
That's right. Everyone can find out what they're touching or feeling or smelling.
Lovely. And then there was the Flowery Brook.
Oh, isn't that a wonderful name?
I love it.
This is an English-style garden, which of course means there's a profusion of all different flowers blooming from June all the way through to October. And all different colors and sizes. And it's it gets its name. There's two or three little brooks that run into the large river that runs beside the garden.
Uh-huh.
These brooks meander through the garden. So it's just lovely.
And then the Garden of Innovations.
Yes, this is fun, too, because every year there are new things there. It's someplace where you can go to see the latest plant varieties and new trends in landscaping, new ideas. So if you want to see how it looks before you try it in your own garden, or if you want to get ideas for your own garden, this is a great Garden of Innovations to come to.
And then if you want to think about it, and in a tranquil, peaceful environment, you can go to the, as you mentioned, the Monastery Garden.
Yes. Now, you know I love history, so I really love this garden. And its photo is on the website page. It's the one that has all the stonework. There's a stone well in the middle.
Yes, lovely.
There's a stone archway. And it's very, very peaceful with benches. You can sit and meditate. But it originally, monastery gardens were intended as a place to grow medicinal plants because the brothers, there was always someone in the group that would take care of the others as they became ill. So there's lots of aromatic herbs as well as medicinal herbs growing in the garden. Actually, it was so important that at one point in history, actually it was 1812, I think, these gardens were so important for the health of the monks as well as the surrounding communities that it was made a law that there be a monastery garden.
That's terrific. And then in 2001, you say they opened the First Nations garden.
Yes. And interestingly enough, it took almost 70 years, but this was an original part of Brother Marie Victorin's dream. He had wanted this from the very beginning. And it's another fascinating garden as well. It's very natural, of course, because the First Nations have a very symbiotic relationship with the plant world, because the plants provided food and medicine, as well as the fiber for building their homes or their utensils or their canoes or whatever to travel. So it's very interesting historically wise, but there's also lots of opportunity for people to learn the traditions and skills that have been passed down for thousands of years.
Over the centuries, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then, of course, on a hot afternoon, you have the shade garden, as you say.
Yes. Actually, we're not ready for a shade garden here yet. We don't even have our leaves fully out.
Right.
But come the end of June, July, August, a hot day in September, this is a very popular spot because it has mature, tall trees, but underneath, it's very surprising because it's full of color. It's full of different shades of green, but it's also full of pinks and blues and whites and all those colors that sometimes you think you can't grow in a shade garden. But this one definitely has them, and it's beautiful. It was very inspirational to me because at my home I have a shade garden. Well, what I have is mature trees. Now I'm getting them a shade garden.
Took a little while.
Yes.
Then, of course, there's the time of the year where the greenhouses come into play.
Oh, yes. During the winter, we need greenhouses, mostly for inspiration, this is for home gardeners, but we need them to keep plants alive in Canada. The more exotic plants that the Montreal Botanical Garden has that they've brought in from around the world. And so during the winter, they're kept in the greenhouses, and it's very popular for people to come in and visit when it's cold and white outside.
And then, well, I'm going to save the best for last, but before I do it, let's touch on the city gardens.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, the city gardens are fascinating. Unfortunately, in the article, there's not too much there, but there's probably, maybe 20 city gardens with all different kinds of ideas. Some of them are really, really off the wall, what I say off the wall. They're very modern, very different. You may not use every part of it in your garden, but you get ideas. And then there's other more traditional gardens, gardens for small spaces, you know, all kinds of things. And because it's a botanical garden, everything is labeled.
Now, we're almost out of time, but I'd like you just to, if you will, briefly touch on what would have been one of my favorites is the rose garden.
Oh, I'm not surprised. The rose garden, roses are the most popular flower in the world. And this one was created in 1976, it's only 30 years old, but it's still a very young garden in, you know, worldwide. And it's won an award of excellence in 2003. So it's an exceptional garden. It's very large. It has all kinds of roses. It has ones that aren't hardy in our area, but they're protected over the winter, so we have the joy of seeing them in the summer. So it's definitely, it's a thrill for your nose and your eyes.
Sounds fascinating. Carol, thank you so, so much for sharing this with you. We've got to run. Hope to talk to you again soon. And
great.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Roy. Bye-bye.
Pleasure. That was Carol Matthews, and a great article. We've got to run. Going to go to break, and when we're back, Johnny Jett.